Andy, this feels a bit weird because I'm sat in the same chair. I'm in the same place. I've got the same light, same computer, same microphone that we normally have, but we're on a different channel.
We're on a different channel, Matt. Episode 25. Welcome to the Mission Darts podcast channel. Imagine when we're looking back in 5 years when we're on episode, I don't know, I can't work that out that quick, and going,
27.
Wow, do you remember that? The very first one on the new channel. Guys, if you're here, thank you. Thank you for coming along for the journey. Do us a favor, share it with somebody today. Share this link with somebody today and get some other people watching our darts podcast, because we're on the this channel's just for podcasts and clips of the podcast that we're going to share with you. So thank you to everybody that's here. I know we've still got people saying, Matt, I'm in the club. I've watched every episode. So fair play to you. Fair play to you for being in the club, whether you're listening in your car, whether you're watching us on YouTube. Thank you. And here we are, episode 25, Matt. Do you know that's nearly 6 months? That's a week of 6 months. Where's that time gone?
When you put it that way, like, yeah, it is quite...
Oh, the world's smallest coffee. Sorry, those of you that are listening can't see what I've put.
In a fancy glass, of course it is. Yeah, he's not got like a mug.
Or, you know,
like, it's got to be a little fancy glass courses. But yeah, I mean, it's something that I've kind of got to look at and say, do you know what? When the idea was floated to me, I says, nah, that won't work. Mm. That won't work. And I guess it just goes to show that I'm only right 99% of the time.
It does. It does. It was almost a bit like it was, we've got to give Andy some credit for this, our video guy, because Andy was like, I'd listen to podcasts all the time. And we're like, really? Like, I don't. And you were like, what? What's a podcast? You know, it was, so Andy was, yeah. You know, the Joe Rogan and all this. And I was like, yeah, I've listened to the odd one. I started listening to a golf one and this, that, and the other. And I was like, that might work. We've always got something to say about what's going on in the world. And you were like, nah, nobody's going to want to listen to us every week. Here we are, episode 25. Over 400 subscribers on the new channel already, which is phenomenal.
And we now get to do it my way, because my way of doing the podcast was this. You get your long-form content, which is for if you want to sit down and listen to the whole thing, or if you just want to sit down and listen to individual topics like Andy's conspiracy theory about things, Matt and Andy talk about Beau Greaves in 2025, we can clip all those out now because we can't do that on the main channel. That's why this channel exists. So we can use hot topics and hot conversations as individual videos rather than flooding the main channel. And then you'll lose all your content, like your coaching content and your rate my hockeys. They become hard to find when it's flooded with me and you just talking about different topics.
Yeah, and it's come about, hasn't it? Because we're making more content, Matt. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, we're even talking about 5-day-a-week content in the future, which would, the podcast would get lost. Like you're saying, all the clips would be lost. So dedicated channel for that now, which is brilliant. And what a week to start. Mission launch week, you know, and the reaction to the new darts. Phenomenal, as we expected, especially a certain Matthew Edgardart, some pro player somewhere, I think.
Yeah, they've been selling quite well, which is quite good to see and quite nice. I tell you what, right? For me, and being someone who's had signature darts and someone who's got more signature darts, do you know what really gets me? And I mean, really, I mean, the first time it happened, I mean, I'm even going to use the word emotional, a very emotionally charged day. Christmas Day, when you see people put their photos online, like, oh, I've got some Edgar darts, or someone opens them on their birthday, and their birthday present is Edgar. I used to want WWF Hasbro figures. Like, I wanted Bret the Hitman Hart or Shawn Michaels, you know. And when people are getting my darts as a birthday present or a Christmas present or Easter that's coming up. I've seen it on Valentine's Day before where someone's like, oh, I love my wife. Literally got me some Edgar darts. It's like, I can't explain because I'm not really a very emotionally charged person. So I like to say how that makes me feel. I don't quite understand it. It makes me feel weird, but like in a really cool way. Just to know that people are getting your product as a present.
It's funny when you said, I'm not very emotionally charged, and I'm thinking, yeah, I remember the conversation, Matt. Do you ever cry at movies? You're like, I don't watch movies. All right. Mm. Do you ever cry at anything? You're like, no.
The missus calls me cold-hearted and then swears, and she says I'm robotic. But with that, I also blame, and this is could be our first topic of the day, I blame the world I lived in, because I lived in a solo sport from the age of 19, whether it was boxing, MMA, wrestling, or darts. I've always lived in a solo sport environment, and with that, you can't let emotion affect you. And you have to learn to let the emotion come out of the situation. And that's probably why I've been able to do things. Like, do you know when, like, you're at a family funeral? I'm the one who does the speech because no one else can do it, where I can withdraw myself from the moment to be able to deliver the speech that is needed to be delivered. Where a lot of people get lost in the emotion. And I think sport and certainly darts can make you lose that emotional connection. Essentially,
yeah, that's fair
because man. You become, and that might be another thing why you wanted to get out of it, because maybe you saw you was going that way.
Yeah,
maybe you saw that you was losing that, because do you know, it's not just the fact that you've got to deal with taking the emotion out of the situation to produce performance, but you've got to take the emotion out of the situation. Like, I've been away on my son's birthdays before, I've been away for big family events, and you have to almost be there and like, I don't care about that right now. I've got to focus on this.
Yeah,
so you learn to redirect and reframe your focus all the time. And it makes you very emotionless at times.
Yeah.
So
no, that's fair.
It'd be interesting to hear from other players on that.
Look, as you well know, I gave it all up because of my family. I couldn't cope with it. So yeah, it takes a special type of player. And I remember watching Phil Taylor saying he'd missed birthdays, anniversaries, weddings he should have been at for his career. And it killed him at the time, but he dealt with it. And that's why he was so good. I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with being away, and I gave it all up. But I've got some bad news.
Just sticking on this, actually.
Save my bad news, go on.
Oh, we'll just pause the bad news, because I think there's another point here.
All right.
Because we're talking about that lifestyle. And obviously when I was younger and I was... You know, when you're wrestling and things like that, you know, you've got loads of friends. You're at the gym all the time. You've got loads of people to work out and train. We've got all these people. People contact you left, right, and center all the time. Matt, you're coming out at the weekend. Got Pro Tour. Can't go. Weekend later. Matt, you're coming out. Matt, we're going go-karting. Can't go. Matt, and then what happens is those 50 people that ring you to turn into 40, into 30, into 10, because they're like, no point in asking Matt, he's never available, he's never around, he's not here no more. Like, Matt, you're coming to my birthday, can't make it. Oh, he's let me down again. Yeah. And then that 50 people becomes one.
Yes. Yeah, and, you're right.
You know, you watch that pool of people that, and this is the thing, when people go, I want to get to be a professional dart player, look at the circle you're in right now, you will stick with one of those people. One person will stick with you. Everyone else will go because you no longer fit their life. Because on their birthday, on their wedding, you ain't coming because you've got a big match on. You ain't going. So then you've let me down on my wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't come to my dad's funeral. Oh, you didn't come to this. And those dwindle down, depending on the severity. Some people will dwindle down because you didn't answer the phone call. Some will dwindle down because you didn't go out for a drink on a Saturday night. Some will be because you missed something very important.
But same for me, Matt, with obviously running a darts company is a very similar situation. 24/7, you're responsible for that company because it's online, and you end up, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't make Friday night because it's January and we're up to our eyes in orders. And yeah, same sort of thing. So I know where you're coming from. Anyway, my bad news for you is I've just come back from the doctors this morning. As you know, I'm over 50. So I've had my over 50s check, where they take your bloods and your blood pressure and your liver and your everything.
Everything.
And the bad news is I'm all right. I'm good to go. I've got a 3% chance of a heart attack in the next 10 years. I was like, is that good or bad? She was like, that's brilliant. It's really good. You're fine. You know when you're not getting diabetes, she said, how much do you drink a week? I said, a couple of bottles of wine, something like that. She went, you could just cut that down a little bit. I went, Right. I said, if I'd said three bottles, what would you have said? Or if I said, she just said, I said the same thing. I said, I thought you were going to say that. And then it was usual. If you could just cut down on the bacon and the butter and the fat on the steak. So I was like, all the good stuff. If I just cut the good stuff out for a bit, I'll be a bit healthier. She said, yeah. And the best thing you could do is start swimming. And I was I can't think of anything more boring. So if I pass on the swimming, can I just cut down on a glass of wine instead? You know. But anyway, I've got a clean bill of health. I'm good to go. I don't have to go back for another 5 years. She said, come back in 5 years.
I've got a question for you then. If I could pose it to you right now and you could choose, and I said, you can live for 16 years where you can have the fat on your steak, you can have bacon, you can have you can have wine, you can have more than two bottles of wine, you can have more wine, you can have beers, you can have all the things you like. You can eat chocolate. You can do all these things that are considered like you have to have in moderation. If I said you could have as much of that as you wanted for 16 years, or you got to cut it out, but you get 20, what would you take?
I'd take the 16.
You take the 16 with the
life's for living. Life's for living. I'm not one of these people that from the age of 21 was saving for the retirement. And I know people like that. I can't wait to retire. Can't wait to retire at 60. I've got this nest egg. I'm always like, what if you don't make 60? You know, live for today. Live your life. You're only getting one. Live it. Nobody knows when that switch is going off and we're not here anymore. So enjoy your life. Obviously. Within reason, but yeah, so that's the way I've always been.
Comment section, where would you be? Would you sacrifice the fat on your bacon for an extra 4 years?
I'm glad you said comment section, because we get lots of interesting comments. We might have some new people to the channel today. We're on a new channel. Please keep sending in your interesting comments. We love reading them. I love picking them out, you know, and sometimes we get questions and sometimes we get statements and things, but please do keep sending in interesting comments, and it does help the algorithm, as people have put in this week. It helps the algorithm. So thank you for that. And this is a perfect point, Matt, for me to say, what is the checkout finish between 100 and 161 that you can't finish with three darts? Don't answer it. I can see you thinking there. Send the answer to YouTube at missiondarts.com. There is a checkout between 100 and 161 that you can't finish with three darts.
Oh, that's easy.
It's not, sorry. There's a number that you can't finish with three darts. Send it to YouTube at missiondarts.com. Somebody is going to win some signed goodies. And we don't do this often. We're doing it because it's the first podcast on the new channel. All right. You should all know the answer. So send that answer in to YouTube at missiondarts.com, and somebody's going to win some signed goodies because it's our first podcast on the new channel. So I'm not going to mention it again. If you're not watching at 13 minutes, you will have missed that. So those of you that are still watching, listening, you can send that in now and a chance to win some goodies. Now,
let me also say, if you are watching, because you're watching incomplete, don't let those skippers win. Now, what I mean is, don't go down below and just put the answer in, because they'll go, oh, what are they on about? And they'll just copy you.
Yeah.
Hide it in the answer.
No, they're not putting it in the comments, Matt. They're not putting it in the comments. It's YouTube at missiondarts.com. They're sending me their answer to YouTube at missiondarts.com so that I can pick one at random and I can email them back and go, you have won. I'm going to send you some goodies.
That's good, because
yeah, I've done it that way because exactly. I didn't want the answer in the comments.
They're not going to boost the algorithm. So go down there and do that as well.
Of course they are. They're going to put just comments in to boost the algorithm.
What they're going to do, this is how we're going to know people are really listening. They're going to tell us their favorite chocolate bar.
Oh. Favorite
Whisper Gold. Bar. Whisper Gold.
Oh, do you know what, Matt?
That cheeky layer of caramel just... Oh.
It's dairy milk fruit and nut.
Really?
It's dairy milk fruit and nut. I love, because I'm a big fan of nuts and raisins together. So when the chocolate melts it's dairy milk fruit and nut. There you go. So while we're talking comments, I've got a cracker. Got an absolute cracker.
Christmas.
I've only picked out one this week because there's loads of other stuff I want to talk about. And this is one of our old fans, been here since the very beginning, Christian Brubear. You'll know the name. And he said, hope you're well. Got an interesting top three for you. And here we go. Players who seem to go downhill after changing their equipment or brand. So who can you think of that either changed their equipment or they moved to a different company and went downhill?
Michael Van Gerwen. Michael Smith.
Yes. Michael Smith is the obvious one. Cases. From world champion to now out of the top 16. I've got a couple here that I've
thought
of. Was
Clements with his manufacturer when he
Clements,
made the world champion?
Clements is at the top of my list. He's dropped out the top 24.
He's out of 32, isn't he?
No, I think he's still in the 32, just about. I think he's like 29 or something.
I think he's well out.
Unless I've not looked at the up-to-date one. But while you're looking at that, wow, that's a massive fall from grace. So Clements, Mike Smith, we've said. Now, I've written down Kim Hybrex.
Okay.
Because he changed brand. I don't know. I mean, obviously, if you change brand, you change equipment anyway, because you have to have a slightly different dart. And my other one was Whitlock. Do you remember when he burst onto the scene and hit everything and went like top 10 in the world within no time? And then he changed his darts. He went from that really weird, almost, I want to say Mervyn King-esque kind of dart. Then he tried something completely straight. That didn't work. Then he went back on. I've got another for you. I've got a cracker. Jelle Klassen. Have a look at Jelle Klassen's darts when he won Lakeside. I had a set. Bulbous at the front, long points, push point at the back. And then have a look at the iterations ever since. Completely different. And he's never won anything since. So
how about...
Oh, that's a great question.
Top player who has struggled after a lifestyle change. I think there's two people that really come to mind. In fact, I'm going to go with three.
Phil Taylor, to a point, every time he went on a diet, he seemed to go off form until he stopped the diet and then he came back on. But lifestyle change.
So I'm going to go with three. Better? For the worse. I'm going to go with three. My two top two.
Okay.
Who fell from grace so quickly, Wayne Mardell, Glenn Durrant. Because when they went from playing darts part-time to full-time, they plummeted down. You know, Glenn famously was still working as a housing officer, wasn't he, till late in his career.
When he won the Premier League, was he? Was he still doing that when he won the Premier League?
He only just finished, like, within months of...
Wow.
Months of that. Wow. And Mardell finished with his job, and then... But I get it, because, like I just said, like, the life of a full-time player isn't what people think it is. So I get the fact of when you wake up in the morning, all you've got in your day is, right, let's go do some darts. Now I have to play darts. I don't want to play darts. I've got to play darts. Then you've got to win to make money rather than you're just making money. So I get that's different. So a couple of people there. Johnny Clayton's not won anything since he went full-time darts.
Is he full-time now?
Yeah, he's been full-time for a while. And he's not won anything.
Joiner or something.
He worked for the council, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then the last one I want to bring up is someone I highlighted last year as being someone who's going to burst onto form again. Jermaine Watamena, who's in the top 32, lost a load of weight, dropped out of it, got big again, and he's back in the back on the gravy train.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't Peter Wright lose a load of weight at one stage? Went off the boil.
He did. He did. But that was...
It is going to affect you. There's no question about it. You know, Andy Fordham.
How you lose weight is important. And,
of course.
Peter Wright didn't lose it through I'm going to the gym and I'm training. He lost it through health things.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's an interesting note. Thank you for that, Christian. And hence, get your comments in below, and they may well be topics that we will discuss in a future podcast. We're here every week.
I've got a topic for you, Andy.
Have you?
Has
this just popped in your head?
Well, it has, because I like to like fiddle with things, and I'm just sat here.
Okay, okay.
I'm just sat here fiddling right now, right? So as you know, here we go. Here we go. 11-year-old Andy's turned up.
Okay.
I'm just sat. So I ordered some whiteboard pens for my office. So I've got a studio now. I'm putting it all together. It should be ready this week. I've got some whiteboard pens, and I'm just going to show you it here, and then you can tell our audio listeners what you see.
Right. It says Bic Marking. Mark King 2000.
It's a bit underneath it.
I can't see it.
It's the light. Focused. It's the ring light, isn't it? It's the light.
Oh, it doesn't say permanent marker, does it?
There you go.
You absolute muppet.
I just noticed it as well when I'm fiddling with the pen. I'm like, oh, it's a permanent marker.
Yeah, Matt, you know, do you know something, right? Just before we, yeah, it does say permanent marker. Please don't use that on your whiteboard. And this is just, honestly, this is the guy that I work with that makes me laugh every single day. Because right now, I'm sure you're all screaming at the TV, mission, sell whiteboard markers. Like, why? He works for Mission. Why hasn't he just said, Andy, can you send me some whiteboard pens? We do a pack of four, Matt, with all different colours in, that I could have sent you them for free. But no, you've gone and ordered some permanent markers. I mean, it's every day. It's every day. Honestly, I don't need to go watch comedians anymore. I work with one. I literally used to love a bit of Jimmy Carr and Billy Connolly. Now I just check my texts. Matt will amuse me. It's just amazing on a day-to-day basis. And the thing is, you don't know you're doing it, do you? You're just naturally funny. What did Jodie say?
Yeah. She hasn't seen you.
No. But would she be like, oh, Matt? Or will she just be like, yeah, that's about right.
Here's another one then. Let me put it up this way.
Markers.
So I took a job. So as you know, I commentate now for the PDC. And they offered me a booking in Rosmalen in Holland. Okay. I weren't originally down to do it. Someone couldn't make it, so I got offered an extra. And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. But the thing I didn't realize or I didn't think about is the fact my passport has expired. So I've had to drive to Peterborough to get a new passport. It's literally just arrived. So I now have a passport. So it's literally here. It's come out of the packet. There it is. Edgar's new passport.
And this is where Matt and I work so well together as a team, because I'm the sort of guy that in my phone, my expiry date for my passport is set 6 months before it expires in the future as a reminder, it'll send me a message saying your passport's about to expire. Make sure you sort it out. Matt's the sort that would pick his passport up on the day of travel and go, oh, it's expired. And that's why we work so well as a team, isn't it, Matt? What are you reading now?
Looking at it. It said I needed to sign it, but I don't know where I have to sign it. It doesn't have a spot. Oh, no, there it is. Yeah, sign it there.
Anybody watching this podcast for the first time that's got 23 minutes in is sort of going, do they actually talk anything about darts? Wasn't the World Series on last week? Yeah, so let's jump into the World Series, Matt, because there's loads I want to say. And I'm going to kick it. Well, first of all, I'm going to kick it off with something that's made me smile. And then I'm going to kick it off with a rant. It's an Andy rant coming. So the thing that's made me smile, the greatest crowd interaction ever. Kevin Dowitz. He's my new favorite player. He's my new favorite player because the crowd sing, Dudes, there it is. Dudes, there it is. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. Those of you old enough to remember that the song, they started doing it. And I was like, it's so relatable to, like, you can sing it in any language. I was like, that is brilliant. What a brilliant song. Now, do you remember when Vincent van der Voort, and it was Vincent van der Voort, you know, when the crowd get involved like that, it's almost like a football chant. Now, if you can get the crowd doing that, they're on your side, mate. They're on your side. Wherever he goes now, it's going to be Dudes. There it is. It's brilliant. Love it.
It's got to be his walk-on song.
It's got to be. Got to be.
It gives him individuality. And you know I'm big on individuality.
Yep.
Because not only the individuality is also great for the whole world that you live in, especially when you live in a world of branding, marketing, darts, and everything that comes with it. So I think that could be, like you say, something that's good for him.
Be massive. He has to come on to that walk-on song. The crowd will get behind him. I think he's going to have a good year. Clearly, he's playing fantastically well. Good luck to him. And then I've got a lot to say about Stephen Bunting. I've got a lot to say. So I'm going to make a prediction that he's going to win a major in 2025. Okay, there's my prediction. Because what I'm seeing from Stephen, since he's changed his darts, finally he's gone to a heavier dart. His dart is, look, I'm an analyst like you. We watch players' darts and what's going on, and the Sky cameras are so good. His dart is flying differently. He's no longer having to push it as hard as he used to with those little 12-gram things. The dart's flying beautifully. He looks a winner again. I thought it was unfortunate not to win last week. The way he is playing, the fact that he's got heavier darts, I just see him winning a major this year. I see him winning a major, and in this, and before you react to that, in the same breath, he's driving me beep insane. Because if he starts 1-2-1 on the bull one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. Matt, please, please, as an analyst, tell me that it's been analysed that that is not the right way to start 1-2-1.
What it doesn't do is it doesn't change dart number two. What it does, it potentially changes dart number three. So dart number two has to be a treble, regardless of which way you go. It doesn't benefit you hitting the ball. Where the benefit potentially comes is if you get the treble with the second dart, but you hit the single, then you're on the ball. So it eliminates the possibility of finishing on the ball and gives you the chance to finish on a double. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't change the fact of the second dart needing to be a treble.
And twice he missed the ball or 25. So now he's not on a finish at all.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
So there's that.
Stephen, please stop doing that. So anyway, is he going to win a major, Matt? You agree or not?
I'm going to rewind it even more than that. I don't think that our podcast is really about, does Stephen win a major? We never really talk about the darts, and we're sort of going that way now. I think what we do is we talk about the interesting factor behind it. Because you said there, Stephen changed his darts and they're flying better. It's going better. I think that's the key thing here. Because whether he goes on to win a major, multiple majors, a world championship, whatever it is, we'll find out. But doesn't that tell you a lot? Now, I think a lot of the time we take success as an excuse or as a boundary to further success. So with that, I think we spoke about this before on the podcast, where we say because someone's been successful, they will use the success to hide their shortcomings. So if you was to say to Stephen, your darts aren't working out for you, they would be better doing this. And you could be correct. You could be absolutely correct. They would be better. But he goes, well, I won Lakeside and I'm in the PDC. Okay, you are. But is that the maximum of the potential that you can reach? I think not, because these darts aren't correct for you. And if you change to this dart, you'll see the dart fly better. You'll be an even better player. Yeah, but I've done this with this dart. Yes, that shows you how good you are, that you're using something wrong and you can still be good. Imagine how good you could be if we can reach your full potential. And I think sometimes people will accept a ceiling when really their ceiling is so much more.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point. And I've seen it a lot. I know I mentioned fittings a lot, but I've had players. So those of you that don't know, we also do precision fittings for pros as well. And I've had pros come for fittings who have basically gone, you know, I've won everything there is to win, or, you know, within reason, they might not be world champion. I've never really thought the need to change. And then we go through the procedure and sort of the way I highlight it is when your A game is on, and I'll use you as an example. When your A game is on, I can give you pretty much any set of darts, Matt, and you'll be able to hit a 180 within a few minutes because you're just flowing and you're a great thrower and you can do it. The minute that you're not on, those same sets of darts will feel difficult. They'll feel tricky. And this is the same in a fitting with players that go, oh, yeah, I've won tournaments with these. I've had multiple 180s. I've had a nine darter. And like, right, why are you here? Yeah, there's just something not quite right. And we change it, and all of a sudden, their C and B game get better. Their A game gets a little bit better, but their B and C game get better because it's easier. And I think this is it's sort of similar to what you're saying, is people will live on their past like you could have done. But you went, oh, no, I'm going to change my grip. I'm going to change my grip and see if I can get better. And yeah, I've done quite quickly. But it's that you can't live off, yeah, I've done something amazing, therefore I'm never, ever going to change it. Because there's always might be a reason to change things to get even better.
Phil Taylor, 16-time champion of the world, amongst every other title he won. Was he 100% what he could achieve?
No.
Exactly. No. I believe Phil Taylor could have broke 20. And he lost games because he couldn't count correctly. He went the wrong way for checkouts. He was using the wrong equipment for a lot of years. He didn't be consistent in regards to the nutrition and how he managed his body. So his weight were fluctuating high and low, which would change his balance a lot. So, yeah, Phil Taylor won 16 world championships. Yes, greatest player of all time. I don't think he will ever be beaten. But was that his maximum potential? No.
No. No.
He could have done more. And that is scary to think about that way, that he wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he got 16 world titles. One of the greatest sportsmen of all time.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, incredible. And so, you know, never keep searching for that extra 1%. I think it's really important. And one thing I've seen this week, Matt, I watched quite a lot of the World Series. I got quite into it. I just had a bit of time and I started watching it. And I've got a bit of a theory on Luke Littler. So obviously he got beat again, and it's the short formats. That's where you're going to get to Luke. If it's best of 11, you win the bull, you're already making it hard for him to beat you. In the short formats, he's beatable. But watching his game and the way he turns it on for five or six legs, I cannot see how he gets beat longer format. I just can't see it. If he plays, I don't care who it is, I don't care how many times he plays him, if he plays first to 15 legs, so I'm thinking world match play, I just don't know how anybody beats him. Because there will be a point when he has six legs where he goes 12, 12, 11, 10, 11. And you just go, and you can't give somebody five legs. So I think people expecting him to win everything this year, in my head, the shorter formats, Euro Tours, World Series, I think he'll get beat. Longer format, I can't see him getting beat. I just can't see it.
That was always the logic, wasn't it? The longer the format, the better the player will always come to the front. Like, if I played you one leg, you might win. But if we played five, I'm more likely to win. If we play 10, that increases the chances I'm going to win again. If we play to 20, now it's a safe bet. If we play 30, you wouldn't back against it. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and same with every sport, I guess.
You know, I beat Van Gogh in best of 11. I beat Luke Humphries. I beat Michael Smith. You know, I beat all the top players over best of 11, short format games. I would probably not touch Van Gerwen in a race to 15. I would never beat him because it's too long of a format. I've got to beat him for too long.
I've got another bit of a rant, and I want to know your take on it. And I'm going to relate it again a little bit to golf, because it's been kicking off in golf about this same thing this year. Rob Cross won 300 averages on final day. Fair play to him. No, I'm going to explain why. Rob Cross won 300 plus averages final day. Deserved to win. Well done, Rob. Okay, played brilliant. I hate his footwear. He's wearing Adidas trainers with white stripes on the side, and I think it looks terrible on TV. Now, we're trying to bring up the image of darts. You know, we stop the drinking on stage. It's water only. We're smartening people up, blah, blah, blah. Those trainers look terrible. Now, A, I'm not a fan of trainers anyway. I think you should wear black shoes. But if they've gone trainers, please make people wear black all over trainers. There's enough flipping brands out there. I'm sure he's not getting paid by Adidas. And if he is, well, if he is, he is. But there's enough trainer brands out there to get some black trainers. It looks terrible on TV. And they've done the same in golf this year because people have started wearing hoodies to play golf in and T-shirts instead of collared shirts. And it's all been kicking off because it's not as smart. It looks terrible, Matt.
I can confirm it is in the rules that that type of footwear is not allowed. So the only thing I can think about is that there would have been an issue maybe with his luggage getting over, and maybe his shoes or his whatever he'd normally wear wouldn't have got there, and he only had these ones. That being said, he could have just gone to the shop and bought a pair. Like,
I've borrowed shoes in the past. I've got somewhere and forgot my shoes. I've gone, mate, you're a size 10. I'm a 10. We're playing at different times. Can I borrow your shoes? I'm really sorry, but my shoes haven't turned up. There's always a way. So I'm dispelling that.
I think that's what's happened, though. I reckon because you're not allowed to wear branding and you're not allowed to wear different. It had to be a solid color, like a solid black. Can't have the white stripes. I clocked it myself. And I was like, oh, that's against the rules. But then I thought, it is abroad. Maybe there was an issue. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it Holland as well? It's Holland, weren't it? Yeah. And that
Dutch Dive Masters,
That Schiphol airport, I've never known, like, I've never gone through with a group of people that someone's not lost their bag. It happens every time. But
of which there's 20 sports shops. You're not telling me you couldn't have gone and got a pair of black trainers. Or borrowed some, or somebody could have been sent out to get some. You've got all day before he was playing. He played in them all weekend, Matt. It wasn't one day. He played in them all weekend. So,
and he had a manager with him as well, to be fair.
Yeah, so, it's not good. It's not good. I don't like the law.
There has to be a reason, because that is against the rules. So there has to have been a reason of why he was allowed to play in those trainers. Because when you're on a TV stage, you have a player's marshal, player's official. You have all these, and they check everything from your shirts to the size of the logos that are on the shirts, because we have to have certain sizing of logos. That everything is checked. So there would have been a reason that got approved. We just don't know what that is.
Whatever it is. Well, we'll find out at the next tournament, won't we? Because if he's wearing them again. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Smarten up the sport. Don't let it, you know, I know we've changed the black trousers thing now, haven't we? If you get special permission, you can have tartan trousers, or you can have Peter Wright trousers, or you can have Scott Williams trousers. You know, all these people are wearing different trousers now. I know we've changed the rules, but they are still trousers. You know, what are we going to have next? Somebody turns up in a pair of tracksuit bottoms. Tracksuit bottoms, grotty trainers, and a t-shirt. It would look ridiculous.
Baseball cap on backwards.
Yeah, let's go back to Rod Irons. Let's play in a tie. Let's get a shirt and tie on. Come on. Go on, Rod. Wearing your shirt, tie, and waistcoat. Mr. Smart. Love it. Love it. Right. No, I'm joking.
The YouTuber in me is thinking here, Andy. Now, remember we said we was going to be, remember we was going to talk about different topics and things. And we said we're going to clip things out. I mean, right there's about a 4-minute clip where we circle Rob Cross's trainers, illegal, pointing at them. There's your thumbnail sorted. First 4-minute clip there for the new podcast channel, Bosch. And then, we did one earlier as well. I thought, oh, Bosch, there's already two clips in this. See, it's writing itself.
Yeah. I think we should go back to Why Birds Can Fly. That was my favourite. That's my favourite of the year so far. My favourite 2025 clip is Why the Birds Fly.
It was your face.
And how does a bus fit in the same lane as a car? Like, you know, just nonstop. Like I say, guys, I'm in a very lucky position that I get to spend a lot of time with Matt. And even when I'm not with him, I'm kind of with him because he sends me over 100 text messages a day. But yeah, it's just nonstop fun. It's nonstop fun. And talking of nonstop fun, first Wednesday in February, it's Rate My Hockey, Matt. It's Rate My Hockey Series 3.
So when this goes
out... You're working it out now. When this goes out, it's 3 days' time. Yeah.
This Rate My
Hockey... First Wednesday in February. Let's give the date. Is it the 5th?
The 5th.
The 5th. Wednesday, the 5th of February, 7 p.m. Rate My Hockey Series 3, Episode 1. What a banger, Matt!
The best series going. You're going to... I think from Episode 2... I mean, Episode 2, I think, is the best episode on our presenting. Episode one is a great venue.
It is.
You're also going to be introduced to a lot of people. I mean, you're going to be introduced to Auntie Shirley,
Auntie Maureen,
Auntie Deirdre. Yeah. You're going to be introduced to a lot of people during that series.
There's never an Uncle Charlie, is there? Or
there's an Uncle Dave.
Grandad George or something. So it's always Auntie Shirley and Auntie Deirdre and Auntie Maureen. And
Uncle Dave. Yeah, there was one where we got stuck going through the door and we went, oh, you know, it's like Uncle Shirley and Auntie Shirley and Uncle Dave are coming in, you know.
Oh, what a series. God, we enjoyed filming that, but it's just going to be so good. So, how crazy is this? Series 3 is about to go out 3 days' time if you're listening to this. And we've already got Series 4 planned. It's in the diary, Matt. Hotels are booked.
Series 4 planned. We've got everything else planned as well. Like this. Our videographer's having a nightmare. Like, right, we're now planning September. He's like, hang on, let me deal with January first.
Oh, and hence why the podcast now has its own channel, because there's so much to go on the other channel. There is so much. I know, been a lot of love in the last couple of months, and thank you for all the stuff that we're putting out. We're trying all the time to make it better. We know that we can make good content. We know that the stuff that's between our ears is very useful, and it's just, we're just striving to get better, Matt, aren't we, all the time? That, neither of us sit on our laurels. Neither of us kind of go, oh, look how amazing that video's done. We go, right, how could it have been better?
We just spoke about that when we talked about other people and Stephen Bunting's darts. I don't believe we've reached our maximum potential by a long way. And I literally watched a video today and instantly I was like, right, that's rubbish. I don't like that. Yeah. And that's terrible. And I look at it and I'm like, right, how can we change that? Because I don't like the way that is. And it's also about coming up with different ways of presenting the content as well, because the content's one thing, but how we give it you is another way as well. So, and you know what it's like, right? If we go out for fried breakfast, and
now you're talking. I've got a clean bill of health. I'm in. I'm in.
And we go to the Greasy Spoon and they give us two sausage, two bacon, two eggs. They give us the work. Bit of oil on the plate. You know how it looks. They just slap it on. Here you go. The guy behind the thing in a tank top, hairy armpits, goes, bosh, sausages, bosh, bacon. You know, there you go. Have a bit of that. Or we go to somewhere you like going to and we get two sausages, two bacon, two eggs, but the beans are in a little canister. You know, and they give it as in a nice little, the presentation of it. It's still the same food, but you know which one you'd rather eat. We're trying to be the beans in the little pot.
In the little pot. And there's the question, Matt. If tomorrow morning they come with the full English and we say, I'm very sorry, Mr. Edgar, but we've got a new rule. You can't have everything on the plate. You can only choose one item. Which one are you choosing?
Do you know what? I'm going to say it in a second because I've just got the thumbnail already for this one, right? So the first mission podcast on the podcast channel, the thumbnail is like podcast upgrade or something and being better. And then there's a pot of baked beans and my face is on every single baked bean in the little canister of baked beans. Like me, like,
So for me, get in the comments below. I'll go first. It's the bacon. Just give me a plate of that. Just give me a plate of that. I think you're going to say sausages.
No, sausages are the difference maker of a breakfast. That is the judging factor. Yes. Is it a good breakfast or not based on the sausage?
Agree. Agreed. Now, when even bad bacon's good.
Yeah,
bacon. Sausages.
Is it salty or not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sausage is the character deciding of a breakfast quality. You have to get the sausage right. But I've changed with bacon over the years. Right. In the past, I would be warm the pan up, slap it in, out it comes. Like, and that's it. I'm ready to eat it. Barely cooked. Just change colour of it.
Right.
And as I've got older, I've got a real love for real crispy bacon. Like, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it's been cooked for ages. Like, put it in the oven for about 20 minutes. It does
that. Put it back in again. Yeah, put it back in. Put it in the air fryer. No. Get it in the air fryer. Like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Matt, you're ruining it there. No, it's got to be just touches the pan for me. But I'm like that with steak, aren't I? Like, just show it the pan. There you go. Right, that's it. Done. I'll eat it now.
You just run it under the hairdryer on your way past.
So are you fried eggs or poached eggs?
Scrambled? I'm not a massive egg fan.
Really?
But if I could choose, this is going to surprise you. If I could only have one, I would probably go with poached.
Wow, I am surprised.
It's a bit fancy.
Now you're going to surprise me even more. Fried bread or toast?
No, actually, I'm going to surprise you even more. If I had a choice of eggs, I'd probably go Eggs Benedict.
Oh, mate, that's it. That's it. Our friendship is broken. That's it. You've changed. You want the beans in a little pot. I know you want that. You've changed, Edgar. You wanted the beans all over the plate, but you've seen them in a little silver pan thing. You thought, I quite like that. I can't tell Andy. I can't tell him. I quite like it. I want my eggs Benedict, please, on a side plate. I'd like my toast on a separate plate. And if you could bring it all on a silver platter, please, with white gloves, I'd love it even more. Who is this guy? Who is this guy?
Now, again, I'm not a bread eater, really. I'm not a massive fan of bread. But for me, fried bread is... I have it and I love it when I'm in Blackpool on holiday and I'm stopping in the B&B and I come down and I get those beans that are 15 pence a can and it shares out between like the whole hotel. And you get them, you put ketchup on it, you got to put ketchup on your beans, right? Because it's a different sauce, it's not the same. Put it on there. Then you scoop it up and you put it on your fried bread. Oh, that to me is black. And then all day you get acid reflux. It's amazing.
Yeah. I see. I've got a game changer on beans. You put Worcester sauce in them. You put Worcester sauce in your baked beans.
You know what the missus does?
Bit of a kick.
She puts cheese in it and then puts it in the microwave.
Oh, cheesy beans. Yeah. Cheesy beans. And you talked about toast. My daughter's discovered this at school. It's they call it French toast, where you dip the bread in egg before you toast it.
Eggy bread.
Ah, right. I think she called it French toast. I don't know. But right. Yeah, that was a game changer
bread,
as well.
That's a proper, like,
the things that you can do with a breakfast. I'm taking you for Eggs Benedict, though, next time. Hollandaise on the side, please. That'd be nice. Oh, my. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? I don't know.
We should talk about some darts, really, shouldn't we? Like,
yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah. Well, we've sorted the breakfast. Get in the comments below what your favourite breakfast is, because I'm interested. Breakfast is my favourite meal. I love breakfast. It's the one that you never have time for, because you hate it.
I think breakfast sucks. I'm so bored of breakfast.
No, it's my favourite. It's my favourite. My favourite, because I have porridge most days. Porridge with a few blueberries in, a bit of honey to sweeten, and it's boring. It's boring. But give me a full English or any of those combinations. I'm interested.
I'm sure we'll be having some of them soon when we do Rank Mocha Series 4. Like, we had the breakfast at one place, didn't we? We had a breakfast.
Yeah, we did, and it had the beans came in a little silver thing. That's what you're all about.
I got it and went dump on the plate.
Yeah, them all out. Yeah, I did the same, but it looked good. Yeah. It looked good. Oh, dear. So,
you got any more questions, or is that this week's wrap?
I haven't. No, there was just one comment this week because I thought it was a good one, that top three on players. And I've enjoyed the World Series. I don't think there's any darts on this week. I feel like
there is World Masters.
That's why. Yeah, the Masters, the new format. That's why I've kind of ejected it from my brain, because I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. It's a weird. It's not the World Masters.
I'm not a fan
Matt.
Of them
that's
trying to take the
September.
Lineage of it. Like, it's got the history of it. It doesn't have the history, because now let's say, for example, the sponsor of the event, that's why they're saying that's keeping its lineage. Now, let's say that sponsor goes back to the WDF, do the WDF turn around and go, Luke Little is our defending champion.
No, it's flipping nonsense. Why don't you just call it something else? Why does it have to call it that? Mm. Could you not think of another name? I don't know.
Should have asked us. We could have thought of many names for it.
The world... Full English. The full English Masters. And like, the winner just gets the winner gets, like, you know, when you win the meat raffle at the social club on a Sunday, and you just, that's what the trophy is. It's just a massive plate of meat. Oh, yeah.
Oh, meat raffle. Do you know you get the cup, the trophy? You can fill that Hollandaise sauce. I don't think it's going to get any better than this, guys. So thanks for joining us for the first one on the Mission Darts podcast. I promise you it's going to get better at some stage. We'll catch you next week.